Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. Now today I'd like to start the first of two messages entitled The Sure Mercies of David. The Sure Mercies of David. This is part one and next week part two. And what I want to do is talk about in this message how the Old Testament, you know, you have two prominent, there's several prominent people in the Old Testament, but ones that are specifically mentioned in the New Testament, for example, Abraham is one, David, King David is the other. And so I want to talk about King David, and I want to talk about him as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only as King of Israel, but he was a type of Christ who is the King of Kings, and he's as a prophet. And so we're going to look at that. And I took that title from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, that phrase, the sure mercies of David, is used in verse 3 of Isaiah 55. And if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles and follow along, let's begin reading at verse 1 of Isaiah 55. And the prophet, Isaiah, is issuing a call to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And it's a gospel call. It's a call unto salvation. It's the same, in essence, and at its very heart, it's the same gospel call that every true gospel preacher issues forth in the preaching of this message of God's grace. Come to Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the call of grace. And here's what he says. Look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. The prophet says, Ho, or listen, get your attention. Everyone that thirsteth. Now that's key. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now that's a strange command. First of all, it's a command issued to those who are thirsty. Now, you know, Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And what he's talking about are sinners who have been made thirsty and hungry spiritually by a sovereign, powerful work of God's grace by the Holy Spirit in conviction of sin. That's who he's talking about. You know, people today are looking for something. They're looking for fulfillment. They're looking for some kind of a reason to live. They may be even looking for salvation. But what you have to ask yourself is this, are you hungry for the bread of life? Are you thirsty for the water of life? Are you hungry and thirsty after righteousness? Because that's what is included in salvation, in the conviction of sin, in the new birth. Christ said you must be born again. And when you're born again by the Holy Spirit, that is regeneration, given a new heart, you're made to be thirsty for spiritual water. And that thirst for righteousness can only be quenched by the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be quenched any other way. You won't find refreshing relief from the spiritual thirst and hunger in the world. You won't find it in your works. You won't find it in ceremony. You won't even find it in going to church. Because you see, just going to church doesn't fit the bill. Just going to church doesn't make a sinner righteous before God. Just going to church doesn't wash away sins. You won't find it in baptism. You won't find it in materialism. You won't find it in your job. You won't even find this in your family because that's, listen, we should love and cherish our families, our earthly families, but that's temporary. The hunger and thirst that he's talking about here is a spiritual thirst that can only be quenched by the eternal, everlasting grace of God based on the righteousness of Christ. And listen what he says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." The waters are the waters of truth, the waters of God's grace. Christ is the water of life. There's no other way to quench this thirst but to come and find fulfillment in the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this lays the foundation of what the prophet here calls the sure mercies of David. Because King David, for example, himself, the person, the king of Israel, he found spiritual fulfillment only in the Messiah who was promised to come. And I'll show you that. "But come ye to the waters," the gospel waters. My friend, if you know that you're a sinner, and I'm not just talking about if you know you've made some mistakes. You know, these preachers today, they lessen sin to something that you ought to feel sorry, that God ought to feel sorry for you for. Listen, the issue of sin has to do with abject rebellion against God. The issue of sin has to do with a sinner, a person, a creature, declaring war on God. Now that's what sin is. That's part of, it's not just a few, oh, you can't help it, you're just, your environment, you know, and you've made some mistakes, and God just loves you and feels sorry for you. No. That's not the issue. Why does the Bible say, "The soul that sinneth must surely die"? Why does the Bible say the wages of sin is death? And I know it goes on to say the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But don't just brush over the first part. The wages of sin is death is because of the justice of God. You see, this is the issue of a sinner. If the Holy Spirit has shown you this, that based upon your efforts to keep the law, to be good, you deserve nothing but eternal damnation and death, then, my friend, you've been made thirsty. You understand what I'm saying? Thirsty. Now, how am I a sinner who deserves nothing but damnation and death? How am I going to find life, eternal life, salvation, righteousness? "Well, come ye to the waters." And he says here in verse 1, "He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat." How are you going to buy something without money? Well, this is a metaphor now. And what he's saying, who is it that has no money? Well, you remember Christ also said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You see, blessed are the poor in spirit, poverty stricken, you see. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, every man and woman born of Adam, we fell in Adam into sin and death. And we're born spiritually dead, spiritually bankrupt. Every man and woman is spiritually poor. But not every man and woman believes that and knows that and sees that. For example, now let's go all the way back to Cain and Abel. That's the precedent of the example that I'm talking about. Abel, you remember Abel, God accepted Abel and his sacrifice. What was his sacrifice? It was the blood of a lamb. And that's a picture of Christ. Abel was a sinner who realized that he had no money. He could not pay the first penny towards satisfying the debt to God's law and justice. All he could do was come as a sinner begging for mercy from God, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And that's the way it is. Now, here's Cain. Cain brought the works of his hand. Cain was just as spiritually bankrupt and poor and had no money, just like Abel. But he didn't realize it. He didn't want to believe it. He thought and believed and insisted that he had something to give to God in order to gain salvation. So he brought the works of his hands. So here's what I'm telling you. Any sinner who thinks that salvation or any part of it is conditioned on himself or herself, my friend, you have not seen that you have no money. You have no righteousness. You have no goodness to recommend yourself unto God. Now, I'm not talking about goodness as we compare to each other now. And I always want to make that point when I'm talking to you. You see, somebody said, well, you know, I know this fella. He's a good husband, a good father, a good friend, a good worker, all of that. What you're talking about is as that person compares to other people. And as we compare to other people, we should try to do the best we can do in every area of life. I ought to be the best pastor, the best father, the best grandfather, the best husband. I ought to be the best servant of the church. But what I'm telling you is that none of those things make me good in God's sight. None of those things make me righteous in God's sight. None of those things will save me. None of those things will wash away my sins. When it comes to a right relationship with God, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being righteous before God, and let me tell you something now. People ask me, why do you preach righteousness so much? Because that's what you have in order to be saved. That's what Jesus Christ came to this world to establish in his obedience unto death, as the surety and substitute of his people. You must have righteousness, perfect righteousness. And it's not unreasonable for God to require that because he is God. It's out of his nature. And it's not unjust because God has provided a way of righteousness in Christ. But when it comes to a right relationship with God, I have no money. And you don't either. Now you mark it down. But he says, come ye, buy and eat. Now how's that possible? He says, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Now, the salvation of God's elect people, chosen people, had a price. But none of his people paid that price or contributed to the payment of it. Christ paid it all. We sing a hymn called Jesus Paid It All. All to him I owe. We changed that second line. It said, Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He by himself purged my sins. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So by wine and milk. Now wine is indicative of the joy of the gospel of salvation. It's indicative of the power of God's grace. And so, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Milk is the complete food, the health of the people of God that we find in Christ. And look at verse 2 of Isaiah 55. He says, wherefore do you spend money, or do you spend money for that which is not bread, and labor, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, that which will not feed and nourish your soul? Why do you labor for that which does not accomplish anything? That is a metaphor for any form of salvation by the works or the wills of men. Now that's what that is. If you're trying to work your way into God's favor, if you're trying to earn your position, your right relationship with God, you know what you're doing? You're spending money for that which will not fill you. It's death. Salvation by the works of man is death. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what he's saying. Why do you who are religious, who claim that you're saved because you've done something, you've decided something, you walked an aisle, you got baptized, you're spending money, you're laboring for that which will not feed you or satisfy. It won't satisfy God. Do you know what satisfies God in the salvation of sinners? The blood of His Son. That's why the Bible calls it a propitiation. That word means satisfaction. Christ's death was not just the death of a martyr or an example. It was a propitiation. It was a satisfaction to God's law and justice. And David, King David, the sure mercies of David, he saw that. He says in verse 2, look at it again, "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good." Now, what is that which is good? That's the gospel of God's grace, salvation, conditioned not on you, not on me, but conditioned on Christ, who is the only good. You see, there's none good, no, not one. Talking about a right relationship with God. All right? Well, where am I going to find goodness? One place, Christ. Jesus Christ, the God-man, who came to this earth and stood in my place and died for my sins, charged, accounted, imputed to Him. And in Him, I have goodness. In Him, I have righteousness. His righteousness is imputed, charged, accounted to me. Let me ask you a question. Picture yourself standing before God at the judgment. What are you going to plead as the ground of your salvation? Your decision? You say, "Oh, when I was 12, I walked an aisle, made it." My friend, you're laboring for things that will not satisfy. Plead Christ and His righteousness. God said this, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." And He says, "Let your soul delight itself in fatness." Now, fatness in the Scripture, when it talks about salvation, means health, well-being. It means nourishment. It doesn't mean what we think it means in our day. Somebody's fatness means unhealthy. No, fatness means health. Well-being. You're not sick. You're healthy spiritually. And in Christ we are. Now look at verse 3 of Isaiah 55. "Incline your ear," which means listen, "and come unto me." That means come to Christ by faith. "Hear, and your soul shall live." This hearing is the gift of God. You remember Christ told the disciples in Matthew 13, about it. He said, "Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see." In John chapter 3, when He told Nicodemus, "You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God." Means you cannot see the glory of it, the truth of it, how you need it. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. Man by nature does not hear. Hearing they hear not. And that's not just because they're worse than me. By nature, I don't hear either, but God gives spiritual ears, and He says, "Hear, and your soul shall live." Now, the living is not the result or the reward of hearing. The hearing is the evidence of one who lives spiritually. And He says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you." Now, here's where we get to the sure mercies of David. He says, "I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Well, what is He talking about, an everlasting covenant? Well, turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 23. It's the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23. And I want you to look at this with me. Now, I've spoken about the covenants of the Bible on this program before. But here He says an everlasting covenant, all right? And He says the sure mercies of David. Well, back in 2 Samuel chapter 23, listen to this. It says in verse 1, it says, "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel." So there's no doubt who He's talking about. He's talking about King David. And He says in verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." So what David is saying here is not just David's words. This is the word of God. This is God speaking through David. And he says in this, listen to it very carefully here. He says in verse 3, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Now he says, the rock of Israel. Who do you suppose that is? Well, I'll tell you who it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the rock of Israel. He's the rock of salvation. Remember he told Peter and the apostles, the other apostles, he said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, there's some denominations say that rock was Peter. Oh no, it wasn't Peter. That rock is Christ. He is the rock. We who are saved stand upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And he says in verse 4, David said, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. See, this is what comes with Christ spiritually and eternally. It's salvation. It's the light of truth. It's the prosperity of a sinner saved by grace based on the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to verse 5. He says, although my house be not so with God. My house, his house is his family, his kingdom. You see, David made a lot. David was a sinner. He said that. We know the life of David. We know the good times and the bad times. The sweet psalmist of Israel. He was also the adulterer and the murderer. He messed up with his family. His son Absalom tried to take over the kingdom and was killed as a result of it. So David said, my house, my family, my kingdom is in shambles. Yet, he says in verse 5, he, that is God, hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Now, I'm going to start with that next week. But what David is talking about is the everlasting covenant of grace that would be fulfilled and established upon David's greater son, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, that Christ was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's his humanity without sin. You see, Jesus Christ is God and man in one person. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And his humanity, his sinless holy humanity, was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He came through the tribe of Judah, David's tribe. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin by the Holy Spirit, without the aid of man. But Mary was of that tribe too. And he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And what David is saying is this. My salvation is ordered and sure in all things because of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who would come and fulfill all conditions of that salvation. My friend, the sure mercies of David is the mercy of God to his chosen people that is brought through and brought about in the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy seat, the one in whom all mercy. And that's what I tell people all the time. You know, this thing about, you know, just going out and generally telling people, oh, smile, God loves you, everything's okay, you know, God feels so sorry for you, and just do this, do that, and you'll be all right. That is not the gospel. That's Satan's deception. Here's what I'm going to tell you. God is love. God is grace. God is mercy to sinners, the worst of sinners. But all of his love, all of his grace, all of his mercy can only be found in Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, without his blood to wash away my sins, without his righteousness to justify me, there's no love or mercy or grace from God. There's only justice. The soul that sinneth must surely die. The wages of sin is death. Now, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you come to God seeking what you can earn or deserve, no matter how you earn it or deserve, whether it's by works or religion or your will. Some people say, well, I made the decision and therefore God responds. No, no. If left to yourself, you wouldn't decide for Christ. I wouldn't decide for Christ. It's not based on my works. It's not based on my religion. It's not based on my will. It's based upon what Christ totally accomplished on the cross of Calvary. He is the sure mercies of David. And that's what David is saying here. It's a covenant. That's the covenant of grace. That's the everlasting covenant. The gospel is the preaching of the terms of that covenant. And it's ordered in all things. Now, it's certainly not ordered by any man, because David said he's a sinner. He said, my house is not so with God. But who ordered it? God ordered it before the foundation of the world in the everlasting covenant of grace. It's all purposed out. And it's sure. Why is it sure? Certainly not because of anything David did. It's certainly not because of anything I do or you do. It's sure because Christ is the surety of that covenant. All of the responsibility of the salvation of the true people of God is put upon Christ's shoulders, conditioned on Him. And He was made accountable by the sins of His people imputed to Him. And so Christ is the surety. And David says this. He says, this is all my salvation, not just part of it. It's not part of it. I'm a sinner. If any part of it were conditioned on me, it would be a failure. So this covenant, ordered in all things and sure, the sure mercies of David in Jesus Christ, that's my whole salvation. And therefore, it being my whole salvation, it's all my desire, although He make it not to grow. I hope you enjoyed this message. I hope you will be with us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.